There we go. Right. Well, back at Judges 14, and let me tell you, I was starting to feel very excited about this chapter. I was like, before we started, like another Bible study about Samson, and another Bible study about, or another message about, don't go down that road, and lust and all of that. And I wasn't like, I'm sure I've heard it many times, you've heard it many times, but something happened last week before the meeting where God really opened our eyes that this is not really talking about Samson. This is talking about the sin that God is warning us about. This is not us talking about Samson as much as it's Samson's life speaking to us and talking to us. We're not really condemning the man. We're not pointing the finger at him. We're not saying, oh, look how bad he was. No, this is just looking at the heart, the source of sin. And that's what God wants us to warn us about. That's what God is using here. He's not using this story to shame or expose Samson. He's using this word, this story in his word to shame and expose sin, to warn us about not going that down that road again. So really, a quick recap of last week. We see that this is Samson's story. We know who he is. He's a Nazarite. We heard the story about his parents. They were barren. The angel of the Lord met them, revealed himself to them, and he gave them this young boy so he can come up and deliver his people. But when he grew up, he went down to Timnah. And as we hear the word went down, it's always a picture, it was a symbolic of spiritual decline. And Timnah is a place in between. It's that gray area, but still, it's between the Philistines and the Israelites, but it's still under the control of the Philistines. He's not supposed to go there. And if he's going to go there, he was supposed to go there to start a fight, to start delivering, to start knocking doors from the enemy's camp, and to take what has been captivated, what has been taken, what has been chained, what has been stolen. That's his position. But before he get to his assignment, what happened? He got distracted. Is that only him, or is it all of us? I can confess, and I confessed the last week that we are in that same boat. Maybe not you, and I know a couple of people said that it's not us, and that's great. But us here, I can tell you this: when God puts something on our heart, before we even get to it, so many distractions, so many things from so many directions. And I pray, and we really prayed against that last week, and we are holding each other accountable that from now on, we're going to pay attention to this. That when we have something that God puts before us, we're going to focus on it, and we're going to avoid all distractions. Many battles are lost before they were even started, before they even started, because we didn't get into the field of the battle because we got distracted by so many things. So we see here, we saw in the first part that Samson saw. He saw a woman, he liked her, and he acted based on what he saw, not based on anything else, not based on wisdom, not based on talking to believers, talking to the elders or anyone. No, he saw and he acted on it right away. And that's dangerous because Lot and so many people, they see and they act, and then that's how you get yourself in trouble. Israel was called to be separated, to be set apart, not to go and be in intimacy with other nations. His parents reminded him of his identity and the covenant, the circumcision, the covenant, and of who he is and his journey and his destiny. None of that happened. But I did like that his parents were united, in talking to him. That was great. They didn't follow through, but at least they started the right way. Samson rejected the wisdom and chose the desires because she was right in his eye. Not in the eye of his parents or the Lord or anyone, but she was right in his eye. His truth replaced God's truth. He chose his personal truth. He chose his personal preference over God's truth. He chose what feels right over what is actually right. And that's the downfall of so many people. God is still working, however, behind the scenes, and God's still sovereign, and God will use that situation to deliver him and to deliver us. And we just should pay attention to not act out of lust, not act out of the flesh, not act out of what we see, but what God tells us, and based on our obedience with God, to God. And today we will start from verse, I believe, 5.
Okay, verse 5, it says, then Samson went down again, this time with his father and mother to Timnah. And they came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came toward him roaring. Then the spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. But he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she was right in Samson's eyes. Again, just paying attention to the literary phrases here of he went down, and remembering back to Jonah, he went down. Remember, kept going down, 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 down. It is really a good indicator for us when God's word is speaking about somebody's behavior in terms of going down, because it's clear that Samson is doing some things on his own here. And in this particular situation, he's actually taking his parents down with him, taking his parents to meet the parents. Gosh, this must have felt pretty awkward, right? These are the people that have enslaved the people of Israel for, at this point, 40 years, okay? An entire generation. And now they're going to shake hands and try to make, remember, marriage was not just about marriage back then. It was really a treaty between two families. And here they were about to make a treaty with those that had been enslaving them and enslaving their people for so long. And it wasn't like Samson was saying, Mom, Dad, I really love this girl. And I feel like the Lord wants me to marry her. You hear from so many, that's not what was happening. I mean, Samson was pretty brazen about his feelings towards her. He saw her and wanted her. And she was right in his eyes. I mean, it was as like out there about what he was doing as it could get. I'm sure this wasn't the future that they had set out for their kid, right? This wasn't the person, this wasn't the situation. They had a miracle that took place in their lives, and Samson was a result of that miracle. And they saw God's hand at work. I mean, just think about the heartache that they must feel during this time, because it's a tough situation, and I do not envy them, and I do not judge them. Okay.
Okay.
Just let's
Yes.
be very, very clear about that.
Okay.
Do not envy them, and I do not judge them. This is a very difficult situation. What do you do? Do you lose your son, who's a miracle baby? And maybe try, you try to convince yourself, maybe God has something, is doing something here, and we just don't know. What could it be? But as Asam mentioned, something that often happens as we're reading this story is that mom and dad are together on this. Mom and dad are united here. The father and the mother are going together in this space. And that really is something that I think we can look at and say bravo to them for really a situation that none of us would want to be in, none of us would want to be a part of, but they were trying to do their best. Could they have done something different? When we look at this, it's very easy to do that. It's very easy for us to sit here and judge it because we're looking at it from a different perspective, right? We're not in the moment. Could there have been something different done? Possibly. But here they are having to go down and make this decision. From the text, he was probably walking ahead of them, right? Because it says that when the lion came, they were walking by the vineyard, which, by the way, is he supposed to be near a vineyard? No,
Nope.
he's a Nazirite. He has a Nazirite vow, and vineyards have what in them? Grapes. And it was like he couldn't be near anything that was like even a byproduct of this, right? So there was the first, kind of violation. He was walking close to the line. He wasn't eating from it. He wasn't drinking from it yet, but he was pretty close right there. And then a lion comes up. He was clearly ahead of his parents because it says that when he killed the lion, he didn't tell his parents, right, later on what had happened. So here is a lion that comes before him. This is the first moment where we see supernatural strength that's taking place for Samson. Okay, this is it. This is the first moment. It says, the spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And the power here is very clear that it's coming from God and not from Samson. God is delivering him in spite of his disobedience and wrong choice. He was walking by the vineyard, which he should not have been doing. And a lion comes about him, and here is the Lord giving him strength to literally kill this lion with his bare hands. It's important, though, that we don't get used to it, because there's a time where when our hearts get further away from God and harsher, that there's not going to be this moment of God saving us in the midst of the bad choices. But does he do that? Clearly, in this text, we see that he does. We see that Samson is not walking completely, fully surrendered to the call that was given to him, but God still used that time and empowered him from heaven to really see this miracle, this supernatural miracle happen. The lion is a symbol of danger and oppression, and Samson defeats the lion with his bare hands. He had nothing to fight back with except what God had given him, his actual hands. And then it says here, after he killed the lion, he didn't tell his father and mother. He was trying to avoid his parents from telling him that he was in violation, right? His parents would have said, hey, this is because we were walking by the vineyard. We shouldn't have been walking by the vineyard, number one. And number two, you're touching a dead animal now. Now here's another violation. Okay, so he didn't want his parents to remind him of his calling, so what he did was he didn't tell them what happened. Immediately after God saves him from the lion, what happens in this? What does it say here? He goes back to the woman. He's again now talking about the woman that he wants to go and marry. And it shows that spiritual power, there is a major disconnect in Samson's life between spiritual power and his choices that he's making in his life. This was like warning for me. I mean, I hope all of us, because a lot of times God gives us things. God gives us giftings. God gives us blessings. God gives us power. God gives us whatever it might be, money or health, or I fill in the blank. Okay. God gives us things that are sometimes very specific just to us. A gift of hospitality, a gift of prayer, an ability to speak so clearly. Again, everyone is so different, and God is, I can think of all of these people on this call, so many giftings in so many places, so many spiritual giftings. Really, it's profound. May we never separate that from the choices we make, and that we would put that in a corner, separated from the things that we choose to do, and if those things are especially away from God's will for our life, if we make choices that are choices full of sin, or choices full of things that are going to lead to a path that God didn't have for us, we can't separate those two things. Those two things are one. And what we see here in Samson's story, that he did that for so long that we know what the ending was like. So again, Samson's life is a big warning for us. Okay, let's not think that, God is, just because I have these gifts that God hasn't taken away, I can still continue to make bad choices because, oh, God must have favor on me because he hasn't taken these gifts away. Woe to us if we do that. Big, big, big red stop sign. Okay. Immediately after this, it says, she was right in Samson's eyes. This is a repeated theme because it reinforces that Samson's compass was himself. Samson's internal compass was not the Lord. That wasn't what was navigating what he was doing at this time. What was navigating what he was doing at this time was his own desire, his own lust, whatever he wanted in that moment. You can experience God's power and still struggle with wrong desires. Okay. And Samson, in that moment, that's what happened. So many people who are just blessed again with great gifts and great might or power or strength end up making really bad decisions in their lives. And God's warning here is very clear to us. And it really can very easily be overlooked if we forget about focusing our compass and our navigation and our gaze on the Lord, and instead focusing it on ourselves, on our desires, on our emotions, and our gratification. It's very, very selfish in nature. And may we learn from this. May we learn from what Samson did.
This there is the wine and the line in this couple of verses. Wine and line. Okay, these are supposed to be warnings. These are supposed to be warnings that God keeps sending our way when we see that something we're not supposed to touch, something we're not supposed to get close to. When we also see danger coming our way, like sometimes we need to stop. Like, what is happening here? Am I supposed to be here? Is this the road that God had for me? Am I supposed to be in this journey? That happens to all of us a lot of times, and we cry and we say, "Oh, why is this happening to me?" Well, are you supposed to be there? Are you supposed to be on that road? Are you supposed to be in this relationship? Are you supposed to be around these people? Are you supposed to be watching what you're watching? Are you supposed to be doing what you're doing, eating what you're eating, or drinking what you're drinking? Are you supposed to do these things? So God sends warnings sometimes. And instead of us taking the warning, sometimes we complain against God and we blame God and say, "Why are you allowing the line to come my way?" Well, I didn't allow the line to come your way. You went to the line way. You went to that direction. It's not me that I allowed the line to come your way. You went to the line. So may this something really that speak to us, that we when we are outside of the will of God, when we are outside of the path that God give us, there is no guarantee of safety. There is no guarantee of security. And then let's not add to it by blaming God that he's the reason for it, because that happens often, right? We make the wrong decisions, and then, "God, why did you allow this? I didn't tell you to go there." You went there on your own and you brought this on yourself. So, verse 8, after some days, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, There was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion, and the honey in the body of the lion and honey. He scraped it out and scraped it out into his hands and went on, eating as he went. And he came to his father and mother and gave some to them, and they ate. But he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey from the carcass of the lion. This part breaks my heart often. We actually pray about this almost daily. We've been praying daily for years and years and years since this was revealed to us. And we call it the death covered by honey. This is something that happens to all of us, where something is sweet, something is nice, something is, you know, full of pleasures, covering death, covering something we're not supposed to do, something we're not supposed to touch, something we're not supposed to get close to. You know, when Eve saw the fruit, it looked so good to her, but that fruit was full of death. That disobedience led to death and sin and separation from the Lord, but it looked so good. Death often is covered by honey. See, if there were worms and like something disgusting out of the lion, Samson probably wouldn't get close, right? But he saw honey out of that lion. He saw something sweet. That happens to all of us. And again, I'm not really going to talk about Samson as much, but because this is a lesson to us. We live in a world that specializes in covering death by honey. There are trillions of dollars spent, you know, in advertising and in marketing and selling you and selling me things that are death that is covered in honey. There are people that commit all of their lives, spend all of their lives to study your psychology, my psychology, to what triggers you, what triggers me, what pushes some buttons in your mind, my heart, your heart, so you can buy those products that so they can look so sweet to you, even if they are covered, even if they are covering death. This is something that we need to be very careful about. We pray about this every day for us. We pray about this every day for our kids and the people we love, because we know we fill into this and we fall into this, and a lot of people we love fall into this often. So let's go and try to, you know, see step by step what happened. Remember, it starts again by, after some days, he returned to take her. His heart still after the original, you know, purpose that he had, which is to take that woman. You know, again, returning back to her, the journey back to her. Again, what happens in the journey back to her? Something else is going to happen. The first time was the lion that attacked him, and that didn't work. The second time, it's not going to be a lion that attacks him. It's going to be the death that attacks him. It's going to be honey that attacks him. Okay, so he is returning back. Again, the direction is not from the Lord. The direction that I'm taking, am I taking this because God said, yes, go there? Or is it me saying, I'm going to go there? Am I listening to the warnings? Am I talking to people? Am I talking to my parents? I'm talking to the believers in the church. I'm talking to my pastor and asking, is this a place I should go? Is this a relationship I should continue on? No, he is making the decisions. Not only that, it all starts with that foolish decision that he made to go and be in intimacy or to go be with someone that he's not supposed to. And then it says that he turns aside. Okay? Again, making his own direction again. Are you seeing a pattern here? Are you seeing a pattern? Who is making direction? Is it Siri? Is it the navigation system? No. Is it God? He is the one that's making the directions, making the road, making the plans. And he returns aside and he sees the dead lion. He's making his own directions, not God. And then again, and he saw. He wanted to see, again, to fulfill whatever his eyes desires are telling him. He is a Nazirite. Remember, he's not supposed to touch or get in contact with anything that's dead. And then it says, and behold. Okay? And when you see this, it means that something unexpected out of the norm is happening. Okay? And when that happens is, when in this scenario here, it's something that is designed by the enemy. You know, he's probably looking at the lion to see, you know, if it's been eaten by the eagles or the crows or by the other animals or whatever. No, but then he sees something that is unexpected. What is it? He sees honey and bees. Okay? The honey inside the carcass. Number one, we always, there is a part here that we overlook often. Because it says here that he sees a swarm of bees and honey. Okay? He sees the bees were still there. I don't know if any of you ever been to a bee farm. I have been. I worked them. I've been there many times. You're supposed to be wearing, like, to get into that place, you're supposed to be wearing super protective gears. And your face, your body, your hands, because those things are mean. And if you get a bit, or you get stung by so many of them, it can actually cause you to go to the hospital. It's not, you know, some people could actually die if they stung by too many of them at the same time. So he sees the swarm of bees and he sees the honey and it's a dead animal. And he decides to go under the swarm of bees with his hand, putting his life in danger. You know, putting up with the pain of being stung over and over by the bees to get to the honey. I mean, how much warnings do we need? How much warnings do we need when we are putting our lives, when we're putting our hand in a place, in a position, in an area where God, where we keep getting stung over or stung over and over and over? Have you been there? Because I know I have. I know I have created things that it keeps hitting me over and over and over. And I'm like, oh, okay, but there's honey at the end. Oh, but there's honey at the end. That happens to all of us. And if you say it doesn't happen to you, then talk to Pastor Al after. Because we do that all the time. And then when the pain gets harder, we say, why is this happening to me? Well, you're putting your hand where you're not supposed to put your hand. You're putting your hand right in the middle of the beehive. What do you expect them to do? You know, to make, you know, to make some songs for you or like to be sweet to you? No, they're going to sting you. You go to these places, you're going to be stung. You create these habits, you're going to be stung. You take the right path and you put your enemy, or you put your life with the enemy, you're going to be stung. So the place is full of pain, yet he is insisting and bringing the honey out of it. He's insisting on going after that honey. May God help us. May God help us that our story one day would not be told that way. That our story would not be told that God kept sending warnings. God kept sending, you know, voices. God kept sending us ways to help us see that this is not where we're supposed to be. This is not, I'm not supposed to put my hand there. I'm not supposed to put my feet there. I'm not, that's not the direction from the Lord. But he kept on going. So this was not an easy process. This was a very painful process, but he kept on going. Something sweet is coming from something dead. And then he takes and eats. And sin often looks beneficial and harmless. Sin here looked beneficial. It's honey. Who doesn't like honey? You know, I love honey. You know, who doesn't like it? It's sweet. It's sweet to everyone and it's beneficial and it's great. But what he doesn't know is that the enemy is using it at this point to get him out of his vow. He wasn't supposed to touch the dead body, but the honey and his desire for the honey was more powerful than the vow. If you want to write this down, maybe please do, ask yourself if there is something, if there is a desire in your life that is more powerful than the vow you made to the Lord, the vow that the Lord made with you, actually. Because the vow that was made, that God made with you, was not just a vow in a church, it was not just a vow on a piece of paper. The vow that God made with us is a vow that cost him his son. It cost him death. So the question is that desire, is that bite, is that relationship, is that gossip, is that piece of information, is that more powerful to you? Is that stronger to you, more desirable to you and to me than the vow that God made for us, God made with us? And remember, the vow cost him the cross. When you see Jesus on the cross in the pain and the suffering, when you see Jesus on the cross, you know, being there, being humiliated, being whipped and all of that, is that worth that bite of honey? Is that worth that moment of pleasure? Is that worth the moment of just experiencing something that you think is exciting? Is that worth the vow that God made with us? Is that worth the vow that God had for us? And not only that, when we have sin in our lives, it produces other sins. So it's not just for him now, it's for him and his parents. He takes and he hides where it's coming from, and he gives it to his parents. And his parents take because they don't know any better. They unknowingly know that this is coming from death. This honey is coming from death. Hidden sin really affect others with or without our knowledge, because his parents are not supposed to touch it either. It's not supposed to partake in this either. But now they're partaking in the sin that they don't know about. Sin thrives in secrecy. And that's why the word of God says, confess your sins. You know, and sometimes we do have to confess our sins to people, to actual people, after we confess it to the Lord, to find someone who's older in the faith, someone who I can trust, someone that knows the word of God, someone can encourage me, and someone that can keep me accountable, so we can bring that sin out of secrecy, because it flourishes in secrecy. But as soon as you bring it to the light, death happens to that sin. Truth happens to you and to me. Not everything sweet is clean. Not everything that looks good and tastes good is actually good. And this is a great example of that. Be careful of blessings that come from compromise, because these are not blessings. This is actually death. This is actually death. This is a very heavy part, but I really want us to pray about that. I really want us to take that to the Lord and ask him to reveal to us, what's in my life, Lord? What's in my life? As I told you, we've been praying about this for years and years. We've been sharing with this with the kids for years and years, and we would ask ourselves and ask the kids these questions. What's in our lives? Something that is covered in honey, but underneath is death. I pray that we would all do the same thing, because it's very tricky. It's very tricky. Some of the greatest men and women of God fell into this. We're not too good not to fall in it if we don't have the wisdom from God.
Okay, verse 10. His father went down to the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there, for so the young men used to do. As soon as the people saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. Okay, a little bit of cultural background here on what typically happens. Well, first of all, we see dad going down, right, with the woman, to get the woman for Samson. Samson is preparing a feast there, which is very traditional beginnings of a wedding ceremony. You begin with a feast. This feast would likely involved alcohol, which or wine, may it be as fermented as our current wine or not, I don't know. We don't know. But in any case, he was not allowed to be around that. And here he is. Samson is preparing the feast. Again, now we're not standing by the vineyard anymore. This was something that he started doing, right? He was walking by the vineyard, which he shouldn't have done. Now he's preparing the feast. He's preparing likely the wine. It's already skipped over many, many, many degrees. And now he's gotten so comfortable with being around the grapes, that now he's preparing part of this feast is likely wine, and he's likely preparing it for others. Why 30 companions might be the question. These were similar to the wailers of the Old Testament. You know how during a funeral, actually in many, many parts of the world, this is still true, but during a funeral, they would bring in professional people that were paid to mourn with you and wail, kind of to get it going, get the funeral going, right? And this was very similar, but
Exactly.
in a wedding version of this, where these were going to be essentially paid groomsmen, right? Companions coming to feast with you, to be a part of the feast, to engage with you in whatever you're doing, dancing or drinking, or you basically, whatever you want, they're gonna do. But most of the time, they kind of already have an agenda of their own that they know, just similar to like when whalers come in. They kind of have like a set bunch of things that they do in order to get the funeral going. Well, the same is true of these guys, these 30 guys that were hired. They kind of have a set path that they take to really get things going in that way. These were likely not the best of people. They were likely from Philistine. They were likely again paid for hire, not really there. Not the word companion doesn't really tell the story. And these men and this whole action in this whole verse is a really great indication that Samson has now given in to the people of Philistine and their traditions and their ways. So instead of Samson coming in to conquer, coming in to free, coming in to be the voice of the people of God, he is now adapting to their own culture and their own ways. And this is so easily done. I don't have to give you examples of this, but I think we see this so often with people of faith, that people of faith can get into situations where a little bit at a time, really close to the vineyard. Now we're preparing the feast. Now we're bringing in paid companions, right? Paid groomsmen, paid people to get the party started. Really, Samson here shows us what it's like to not only to be won over by the world, not only to be in the world, but to be of the world. And Samson here is an example. This wedding becomes, as we're going to see even more and more, an example of being of the world. The Bible says that bad company corrupts good character in 1 Corinthians 15:33. And this is another thing that really comes to our attention. Those people around us, the people that we fill our lives with, are they going to be the ones that are setting up what it's going to look like in our lives, setting up situations, setting up plans, setting up events, setting up decisions, setting up purpose for our life that is away from the things of God. Because that is exactly what was happening here. There was no one here that was thinking about the ways of God to be seen out, seen through this marriage ceremony. That wasn't a part of the discussion here. The discussion here was simply to do things the way the Philistines did them. And we're going to see in the next, I think we're going to stop here, but we're going to see in the next bit of text how drastic this gets. How all of a sudden this Nazirite vow, as Asam said, you know, this vow that Jesus made with us, this beautiful vow that Jesus made with us, how we can often trample on it for not much, right? For there's not much here that caused him. It was a woman that he saw. He saw a cute girl, okay? Samson saw a cute girl, and all of a sudden, everything is right out the window. May we be careful that it's not, you know, something that seemingly is insignificant that causes us to give up the vow that Christ has made with us on the cross.
So just to recap really quick, he's taking his parents to meet the parents. That must have been a painful, painful process for them. And you can imagine what a painful process it is for our Heavenly Father when we are taking him to places that he should not go. When his children are going to places they should not go. And let's, as parents and as people that, we want the best for the people we love, for our parents, for our kids, for our nieces and nephews and all of that. We feel that. You can imagine, because remember what we said in the beginning, let's bring this our little story and make it part of the big story. So as we are suffering as parents or uncles or neighbors or pastors, imagine how much God suffers. Imagine how God feels, about his children going over and over and over to places they should not go. So his parents with him. Then he gets a warning by the lion and the wine. Lion and wine, it kind of rhymes. But unfortunately, he does not take that warning. And when we go through painful moments in our lives, a lot of times we blame God, and it could be testing, it could be training. Yeah, it has every situation is different. But this is obviously he's going into the wrong direction. He's in a place where he's not supposed to be, So I'm not sure if that's actually testing his faith. This is him choosing to be in a place he's not supposed to be, and of course the lines are still there. But God saves him. God gives him supernatural power where he kills that lion, and later on it becomes a stumbling block for him. Even the testimony, even the gift, even the blessing, it becomes a stumbling block for him. In terms of David, remember when he killed the lion and the bear, it was a blessing that he kept in his own heart over and for many, many times, for a long time, and he used it the right way, the right place, when he was trying to convince the King Saul that he can go and fight. See, that's a blessing that's used the right way. Both men killed lions. Both men had supernatural power. Both men got, one was shepherding, was in the right place. One was in the right place, and something attacked him. God helped him. God gave him that supernatural power. And that testimony, it was kept in his heart until the right time it was used. It was used to kill an even bigger giant. The other one was not shepherding anyone. He was shepherding his own lust. He was shepherding his own desire. He was going after his own desire. And when he killed, God gave him that same supernatural power. But instead of that being a testimony, instead of that being a blessing to him, a few days later, that same thing that God gave him becomes a stumbling block. And he goes and eats the honey that is covered by death. And he doesn't know it. So may God help us. May God protect us.
Yes.
May God show us, because we do the same thing over and over and over without knowing, without seeing, without recognizing. And then the death that is covered by honey. May God open our eyes. May God open our eyes. There is so much death in this world. There is so much ugliness in this world. There is so much sin in this world. Every single one of it does not come in a nasty, horrible, disgusting way, but it comes covered in honey, covered in sweetness, covered in being politically correct, covered in being accepting, covered in being welcoming, covered in being loving, covered in being progressive, covered, so you name it, you name it. There are people that are getting paid billions of dollars, and there are trillions of dollars being spent just to sell us things that most of the time they lead to death, but they're just specialized in covering them with honey. Let's be careful. Let's be careful. And while we're while we're putting our hands in, the bees keep stinging. We keep getting stung, and we're in pain, but we're still insisting on getting into the honey. Does that happen to you? Don't answer. I know it happens to me. I know it happens to me. So may God help us realize that some of the pain is a self-reflected pain, because God is trying to keep our hands out of places we should not go to. And then his father goes with him, and then we see Samson, who's supposed to go fight the Philistines, now is hosting a feast for the Philistines. He was someone who was supposed to get rid of them. Now he is hosting them and drinking with them and having dinner with them and having a relationship with them. I mean, how far did we go from our purpose? We are supposed to go and break some gates of hell, and we are supposed to go set some people free. We are supposed to go preach the gospel and spread the word of God. And instead, we're going and making comfortable places between us and the people who are, I mean, with the enemy. May God help us. May God open our eyes and take it one step at a time with him. Amen.
Amen.
Please unmute yourself, ask any questions, or give us your feedback. We all would love to learn.
I love the example that you gave us on between Samson and David. And I think the difference between the two of them is where their eyes were. You
Good.
know, one was focused on God, the other was focused on himself. And throughout the whole time you're talking about this, and I'm thinking, there's no fear of God, you know, as far as Samson goes. Really didn't have the right perspective of who God is. So, you know, we talk about holy, not being afraid of him, but showing him the honor that he deserves. You know, and
yeah.
So it's just a thought that came to mind, is not having the right perspective of God,
okay.
You know, that I can play around with whatever he, I don't know the right word, but just, just not having the right perspective, not seeing God the way that I should, gives me this inability to, or just, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah.
One thing that just came right now is that grateful that we are, that we have the Holy Spirit in us to guide us and make us see when something is going bad in our lives, he comes and says, hey, that's the wrong way. Come
Good.
back.
Yeah. Right.
Very good.
So kind of that's thinking. Samson didn't have that, the discerning, the spirit. And like I said, blessed we are that we have the spirit in us that guide us and give us discerning.
Good.
Anyone else? Okay.
All right, so my challenge for you today, take a piece of paper or your phone or something you write with and ask God to brainstorm with you. See what it is in your life and in that you can see that there is a lot of death covered by honey. Things that are not the things that are bringing pain to you and people around you, but they're just covered in sweetness, covered in something nice that you keep missing it. Because I'm telling you, this is one of, as Christians, as believers, as a church, that's one of our biggest problems. A lot of the things that we're not supposed to do are covered by things that look sweet and nice. And then we fall into it. Amen.
Amen. And also, what are those things that cause us to break our vow? What are those things that cause us in our life that are so, have such a hold on us, either in a spontaneous moment or long term, premeditated hold on us that cause us to break vows that God has made with us? So,
Amen.
let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for who you are. I thank you, Lord, that you have goodness and mercy for us. Lord, help us. Lord, help us tonight. Help us tomorrow as we sit with you, as we bring before you the things in our life that so easily entangle. The death that's covered by honey, Lord, the things that we break vows for, Lord, help us to see clearly what you do not have for us, and help us to surrender, Lord, all of it at the foot of your cross. We do that tonight. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for everybody on this call. I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill, every area of brokenness, every area of pain, every area of sin, Lord, would be overtaken by the power of who you are, Lord, in their lives. Lord, we pray for healing for those who need it, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray for your hand of comfort, for your peace and your protection in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Help us to know you more today.
In
In
Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.